So, Laurel, as we record this, it is the day after Governor Tony Evers delivered his first state budget. A big day.
That's right. We're like nearing 24 hours post-budget.
And any budget, there's a lot in the budget, and you kind of struggle as a reporter to fit it all in, to condense it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I feel like we might have failed at condensing yesterday.
What was your first clue, Sean? I mean, I'm not going to say we failed entirely. I think we tried really hard.
We tried, but I'm just looking at our story here, and we get to the end, and there's 16 bullet points of stuff
are
that
there
we
really
just
16?
Couldn't. There are 16 bullet points. And honestly, I think we would have added more bullet points, but we totally ran out of time.
Yeah, that was our only limitation was time.
This is the kind of budget that Evers' budget is. There's just so much in it. It's one of those budgets. And so I feel like if we're going to continue to cover this thing over the next several months, we got to come up with a way to be more concise, more to the point.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I think what we need is kind of a mission statement word.
So a word that wraps up the feeling about writing about this huge budget, something that wraps up the way that Republicans think it's the worst budget ever and Democrats think it's the best budget ever.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to do this?
I think we should just come up with some ideas for what we think that word could be.
Okay, let's start. You go first.
Yeah, I'm thinking golly.
I mean, it's got some promise. What about holy mackerel?
Well.
Kind of two words.
Yeah. What about
Wow. That's it.
That's
the Wow
it.
Budget. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
Let's talk about the budget that made everybody say, wow.
Let me get it like, wow. It's like right now. It's like wow. It's like right now. It's like wow.
And that was the 2016 hit single, Wow, by pop superstar Beck.
One of my favorites.
A man who has spanned generations of pop music. I love him.
And generations of the Politics Podcast. Are we in separate generations? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I do know that this high school teacher that I follow on Twitter, after Beck won a Grammy recently, he said his students were like, who is this Beck guy? And it did kind of break my heart. But you know what? They know now because Beck just keeps turning out the hits, people.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Beck was probably thinking about state budgets when he wrote that song.
I'm sure he was.
It seems to apply to everything we just described, a budget that has so much in it.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the news out of this budget, arguably, and that is a transportation budget with an 8-cent gas tax increase. More on that later because that's a really interesting debate.
Mm-hmm.
I've never covered a budget quite like this one. And that is like a budget from a Democratic governor that has everything. So, I mean, obviously, Scott Walker had some really controversial budgets in his day that did a lot of things or undid a lot of Democratic things.
Mm-hmm.
But this was Democratic priorities, one after another.
It's interesting, though, because he did talk about bipartisanship multiple times during his address last night. So even as he was rolling out these policies that he knows Republicans are not going to be on board with and that Democrats are going to be very excited about, he kept pushing this narrative of we had these listening sessions. Look how everybody got along from different parties. This is what the people of Wisconsin are expecting from us, to kind of sit down, get to work and agree on things. So it's kind of an interesting a little bit of disconnect there, right? Where he's calling for a lot of bipartisanship, but he really is rolling out a number of things that he has to know are not going to go anywhere with this legislature because a lot of them are like undoing some of the marquee things that have been done.
You know, we should mention before we get too much farther that we're without resident politics nerd John K. Wilson this week.
We are. We miss him horribly. We're just so overwhelmed with all that we want to talk about this week that we were like diving into it. Yeah. And we're like, wait, hold on. Pump the brakes.
Precious time. We have to list all the budget things. We're only on bullet point three.
John's not here. He'll be back. We miss him. We do.
You had the idea, Laurel, that we should try to break this thing down, this budget down, into why Republicans hate it so much and why Democrats love it so much because the feelings on this one are very strong.
Right. It's wow on both sides, as our theme song would indicate. So what do we want to talk about? We want to talk about what the Republicans are concerned with first?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would start with all the revenue, probably. That's like kind of at the top of the list for them, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So this budget would increase revenue to the state through a variety of means. I mean, there is revenue growth in Wisconsin. That is, the economy would grow under this budget, and the state would have projected anyway, would have new money to work with. And then Governor Evers goes out and says, we are also going to get revenue from other sources, including manufacturers. He would scale back a tax credit for manufacturers, bringing in about $500 million, including capital gains. He would scale back a state exclusion of capital gains, and the state would collect another $500 million from capital gains from individuals who earn more than $100,000, families who earn more than $150,000. Mm-hmm. He would expand Medicaid, the full federal expansion of Medicaid, and that would generate more federal money. It would, this isn't a tax, but it would free up $320 million in general fund money, state, you know, the state's checkbook, basically, that it could spend on other stuff. And then you go down the line. I mean, there's IRS changes, which are really hard to explain, but it's a few hundred million bucks there by implementing certain pieces of the federal tax law changes. Private school tax deduction would be eliminated. That's not big, but it's like a lightning rod.
Absolutely.
And I mean, he would cut taxes as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at, if you loop in the gas tax, even if you talk about the tax cut compared to the tax increases, you're talking about like $1 billion or so that the state would be bringing in, more than it would without this budget.
Yeah.
That's pretty significant.
It's a huge thing. And I mean, the fact that Republicans are opposed to pretty much his entire revenue package, I mean, that's like a massive element of the budget.
Yeah, because
if you don't have that revenue,
like the rest of this budget doesn't live.
Right.
Because what are like the cornerstones of this budget? Well, expanding Medicaid to 82,000 people, according to the governor's estimates. You can't do that if you don't take the Medicaid expansion. I mean, that's kind of self-fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
How about all that school funding? Evers promised $1.4 billion new school funding. This budget, actually, DPI would get about $1.6 billion more mm-hmm. in school funding. It would return the state to the days of two-thirds of funding education, a promise that was made under Governor Tommy Thompson in 1997, that was repealed under Democratic Governor Jim Doyle, and that Republican Governor Scott Walker never got back to.
Mm-hmm.
Evers brings that back. He lets schools increase their revenue limit by $200 a year.
He's got a $600 million investment in special education. Huge. That's a huge spending increase.
That is a very big number, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So none of that's possible without this revenue. I don't want to say none of it, but all of it's certainly not possible
mm-hmm.
if you don't go out and get money somewhere else.
Absolutely.
And we could go on, like broadband funding. There's
mm-hmm.
a $50 million increase in broadband funding.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hugely popular issue, but that's money. It's got to come from somewhere. And so that's the flip side of all that revenue. And that's what you're going to hear Evers talking about as these things appear to be on the chopping block.
Right, exactly. And I think a big thing that Republicans have said about this budget that we heard them saying immediately after the address was, this is a hugely expensive budget. This budget is 8% larger than the budget that Governor Scott Walker proposed for his last budget cycle. And how in the world is Governor Evers going to pay for all of this? You know, that's kind of their one of the big kind of mantras in response to this budget, right? And Evers says, look, this is how I'm going to pay for it. These things, you just don't happen
you
to agree
don't like
with
it.
Any of them.
Right. Agree to disagree. Now pass my budget. Please.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the revenue part. Do we want to talk about some of the other things outside of revenue that Republicans aren't happy with?
Do you want to bounce to stuff that Democrats love? Because it's sort of a, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of crossover here. It seems like stuff that Democrats love, Republicans don't love. It's like we have different political parties.
Funny how that works. Yep.
How about this plan? It continues to get big applause whenever I hear it mentioned, this nonpartisan redistricting commission that
mm-hmm.
Evers wants to set up. He has that line about, you know,
that people, okay, let me see.
I shouldn't set it up if I can't remember it.
I think we're both so tired from this busy week, but the line is
voters should pick their representatives.
Not the other way around.
Yeah. We're good. We know
what we mean.
We
it's
know
just
this
the
stuff,
words are
right?
hard.
We're getting really good at being concise here. What else? ban the box. This got huge applause in the assembly. What is that, Laurel?
So that is the box on a job application where you check and say if you have a criminal record. Under this proposal, that box would go away, hence ban the box.
Medical marijuana. Can you believe how many minutes are we into this podcast and we're just now getting to medical marijuana? I mean, it's come up before. He said a couple of weeks ago he was going to do it, but that's a big change. How about this? Automatic voter registration.
This got a really big applause line.
That would be a massive change. So when you go to how would it work? When you go to get a driver's license, you're registered to vote.
Yep.
The governor would, this got kind of lost in there, but he would increase the minimum wage. There's so much in this budget that like this proposal to increase the minimum wage just, that's also happening.
Doesn't that blow your mind?
Yeah, it would go up by a dollar the first year, 75 cents for the next three, and then it would be indexed to inflation thereafter, I believe.
Right. That's something that is so big and a national conversation about raising the minimum wage and any other day. I feel like that would be such a headline, but this budget has so much in it that, yeah. Anyway, just a moment to pause and marvel.
Right.
Okay, we can move on.
Oh, here's something. Again, another big thing, driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants.
Yes.
And in-state tuition for undocumented immigrants who went to a Wisconsin high school for 3 years. Mm-hmm. These are things that Democrats have supported in the past. I'm thinking back to the last budget, I believe, when Jim Doyle was governor. They got added to the budget in the legislature but taken out. So back then it was the kind of thing where they supported it but didn't really want to talk about it that much, you know?
Sure.
Evers, in his speech, is promoting it.
Yeah.
I mean, they must feel like that's a strong issue or like they're not worried about the political risk on that one.
Right.
Because he's out front and center on that.
We didn't talk about the things that Republicans would be frustrated with or are frustrated with outside of revenue before, but I feel like this is a big section of stuff, kind of like the falls under the umbrella of labor laws section that is all I can think of consternating.
I'm not even sure if I think so.
It causes consternation for Republicans because these are marquee policies that passed under Governor Walker, you know, the prevailing wage, right to work, kind of all part of this change to labor laws in Wisconsin. So.
And you covered the governor at his first public appearance after the speech today. Who did he speak to?
He spoke with the AFL-CIO.
So he's not afraid to go to a union and say, I did this for you. And he's not hiding his politics, I guess is what I'm saying.
Not at all. No.
So what in this budget is less like, wow? Remember, wow is like different depending on the inflection of who's saying it.
It's either wow or wow.
There's like Democrats saying wow, raising their hands in the air, and Republicans like shaking their head. Wow.
Yeah.
What's less wow?
Like, what's kind of like in the middle?
What's the bipartisan stuff? It's so bipartisan. We don't have time to cover it because we're conflict junkies.
Right.
So.
We are. We have a problem. I would say the stuff that the governor talked about homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a bipartisan task force that's pushed for changes to homelessness related programs in Wisconsin. Getting more money into that, preventing, et cetera.
So I was watching the assembly, and pretty much everything Evers announced, Democrats applauded.
Mm-hmm.
They stood up for a lot of it. Republicans applauded very little. But I watched on that one, like there was kind of a slow clap that built up. And Jim Steinke, the Assembly Majority Leader who's worked on the homelessness stuff, he was like, yes, it's okay to clap, guys.
We are clapping about this.
We can clap for this one. It's
sure.
All right. So there's maybe a room for bipartisan agreement on that one.
I would say also the new funding or the additional funding for district attorneys, ADAs, and congressional officers, correctional officers.
And private attorneys who take public defender cases.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest wow for me is the transportation funding stuff.
Yeah. Break out your Snuggies and your popcorn, people, because this is when the marathon starts. Sean's going to start talking about the transportation budget.
No, I'm not going to go. No.
We'll keep it
Snuggies.
Brief.
Well, you just haven't had a governor get up on this stage and do this in Wisconsin in decades.
Mm-hmm.
He's up there calling for a gas tax increase. Wisconsin lawmakers have not voted to increase the gas tax since 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did that, the lawmakers I talked to said it was quite a battle, and they increased the gas tax by 1 penny.
1 cent.
Now,
wow.
The way that Wisconsin really funded its transportation over decades from 1985 into 2006 was with this gas tax indexing law, which would automatically increase the gas tax to keep pace with inflation. Mm-hmm. Evers wants to bring that back. So that's also significant. But that's been gone since 2006. So not only is he calling for an increase in the gas tax, which none of these people have voted on, he's bringing up this indexing idea. Mm-hmm. And he's also calling for the repeal of the minimum markup law for gasoline purchases.
Okay, so you've got to explain this minimum markup thing, because I feel like this is kind of a wonky, complicated.
Okay, so the minimum markup law says retailers, it prohibits retailers from selling below cost. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're a giant retailer. We'll use Walmart for an example, okay? Mm-hmm. The fear from smaller gas station owners is that Walmart can afford to drop its gasoline below cost, and these other retailers can't keep up on price.
Right.
Because Walmart can profit from, like, selling a billion coffee filters today or something. You know,
right.
Walmart's
so huge.
We're not
going to make the money on gas today.
They can spread the risk and not take the money on gas and then drive these smaller shops out of business.
So under Governor Evers' proposal, Walmart would be able to lower the price of gas as much as they wanted.
Yeah, they could sell it for whatever they want. And he's saying this would reduce the price of gas by 14 cents per gallon.
And so that would completely negate the 8 cents per gallon state gas tax increase. So he's like, not only are you not going to feel the gas tax increase, it's actually going to go down.
Yep. So this is so politically messy. First of all, whenever they talk about getting rid of the minimum markup, in my experience, these mom and pop gas station owners, mm-hmm. they show up to the Capitol in force.
Sure. Well, like, because it's their lifeblood. I mean, this is a huge, huge deal for this sector of businesses.
And so lawmakers who haven't been through that before are going to experience that. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of the Democratic lawmakers who stood up and cheered for the governor, they will be presented with another perspective, let's say, because mm-hmm. these people are going to come out in force if history is any guide. I also think it's interesting that this has in the past been a free market conservative idea. Get rid of that minimum markup. It's against the principles of the marketplace and consumers suffer. Who is their biggest champion now? But this Democratic governor who wants to raise all these taxes, they hate everything else in his budget. But here he is on the same page as them on this minimum markup.
It's really interesting.
So what did Republican leaders say about the minimum markup stuff? They've been calling it kind of a gimmick. This idea that you could increase the gas tax but not feel the gas tax hike because
right.
you've got this repeal of the minimum markup.
They've called it like a shell game. I believe that's what Senator Scott Fitzgerald said last night. Yeah, a shell game.
So this is interesting because 2 years ago, I mean, I was there. I remember it. It hasn't been that long.
It was only yesterday.
It was only a couple. We've even talked about it in this podcast, and this podcast is not this old. 2 years ago, not all Republicans, but a number of Republicans supported a gas tax increase that was offset by repealing the minimum markup law for gasoline purchases. They supported this very idea.
Mm-hmm.
So this is so messy. The battle lines on this one are so goofy, and I don't know where it's going to end up.
Well, and that's to make it even more complicated, that's not even the entirety of the governor's revenue for transportation. He's also proposing a registration fee increase on heavy trucks.
Who also lobby the legislature. They will hear from those truck drivers.
That was kind of a late in the game suggestion during the transportation budget debate for the last budget what about this heavy truck fee?
They wanted a big one in the last budget. This is more, it's smaller. It's an increase in their existing registration fees.
Yeah. So it's just, it's really interesting to me. All the kind of the pieces of this.
What have we not covered here today before we
just blaze through
these small
items here.
Oh, yeah. The Lincoln Hills juvenile prison. The governor won't close that.
Yep. He'll take away the deadline for that. He's also going to take away drug testing for some public benefit programs in Wisconsin.
17-year-olds will now be tried as juveniles in Wisconsin, not as adults.
There would be a 2% state employee raise in each of the next 2 years of the budget.
There's a new tax on e-cigarettes.
He would create this new program to import drugs from foreign manufacturers to lower the price of prescription drugs.
Jim Doyle tried that in 2004. He would close the dark store loophole that larger retailers use to reduce their local property taxes.
Right, exactly. He would roll out a bunch of initiatives aimed at improving water quality in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, and he'd increase funding to the University of Wisconsin system by $150 million, their largest funding increase in more than a decade. And he would continue a tuition freeze at the UW, which was started under Republicans.
No big deal. I wish you could have seen all of our gestures. We're just like, and this.
Man, when it's a WOW budget, you have to use hand gestures.
Even when you're on the radio.
Right. It helps.
So one thing that I wanted to talk about before we wrap this up is, you know, we were talking about this big budget as we were writing about it the other day. And I said, you know, this is obviously the governor's budget proposal. Lawmakers are going to push back on a lot of it. But the governor has a really powerful veto pen. So how does that come into play, knowing that he has the ability to veto whatever Republican lawmakers send to his desk? So let's talk about like what that might look like.
Well, we'll come back to this in a sec, but the number one lesson here is the governor can't veto money back into the budget.
Right.
What we're talking about here is the governor's introduced his budget. It's got a lot of money in it. It's going to go to the legislature. Scott Fitzgerald, the Senate Majority Leader, said they just don't like it. They're going to write their own budget.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot smaller than the one that the governor presented. So it's going to go to him. He has an option. He could veto the whole thing and say, let's start over. Or he could use that veto and kind of line item veto stuff in the budget.
But he can't like add words. And this is the thing that I talked to you about the other day, because I thought, you know, couldn't he just use his veto to say, you put $150 million for markers in this budget. I want $150 million for crayons. So I veto out markers. I write in crayons. I get what I want. But Sean, you told me you can't add anything with a veto. You just mark things out.
He couldn't add words. There's ways you could be creative. What I'd say is he couldn't turn that $150 million into $300 million. If the money's gone, he can't put it back.
Right.
You know? And so that's really significant when you're talking about a budget where the two sides are apart by $1 billion plus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of initiatives that the governor would fund that Republicans are not going to fund. And if they take it all out, Tony Evers won't be able to put it all back in when it gets to his desk. And so then we're reached, you know, this could be a relatively fast budget process. Republicans could pass their own budget, send it to the governor. He makes a bunch of vetoes in July and we're done. Or he could say, no, this is just unacceptable. You've changed my budget so dramatically that I'm vetoing the whole thing, and let's start over.
And then we'll be here
forever.
Forever. That would be that would be the antithesis of brevity, that process.
Right. Yes. Okay, we could talk more, but let's save some for the next 8 months of budget shows.
See, there you go. We're good. We're cutting it off.
That's good. Yeah, lots of bullet points to go around.
Yeah.
Laura White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And Sean Johnson is our Capitol Bureau Chief.
If you were wowed by this episode of the WPR Politics Podcast and want to listen to more episodes, you can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you choose. You can also listen to all of our old episodes at wpr.org/politics. Wanna move into